salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Labor Day. We are celebrating Labor Day by laboring. We're not celebrating labor by not laboring. It doesn't even make sense, does it? Bear with me a little bit here today. We had a great weekend, great time with Jamie Walden at his event in what's the name of that place? I want to say Sky High, but it's not, something like that, in Missouri, where Jamie brought together it was an amazing, they're still there actually, still there this morning, about 200 people came and spent the weekend in a Jamie's tactical event training, but it wasn't really a tactical event training, it really wasn't, and I'll try to get into that, a little bit of that, but I don't want to bore you all, that's not the right word, I just don't want to spend all the time talking about it. It was a very, very unique experience. And like so many things that are going on, you know, Jamie tried to do this a couple months earlier and couldn't because of the whole pandemic thing that was going on. And then he rescheduled it and moved forward with it and was concerned that as he got about 3 weeks out, Jamie had he'd invested a lot, man, in this beautiful camp where we stayed and food preparation and all that. So I know that he'd invested a lot. And he said up to about 3 weeks ago, didn't know whether he was going to be able to do it or not. And I'm thinking, I don't know how many people is Jamie going to get? Heck, it's $399 a person to come. You heard that right, $399 to come. Now, that was the low end. Some tickets were, I think, $599 maybe, depending on some of the perks that went along with it. So you could get a hatch and a backpack and some other stuff included in the package, or you could just get a general three-night stay and food and everything for $399, I think it was. Think, who's going to do that? I feel bad when I ask you to come to Sky High and ask you to pay $50. Jamie said $399. So I pulled in there, we pulled in there on, what day would that have been? That would have been Friday afternoon. We pulled in there. And I'm expecting, hoping maybe that we'll find 50 people that are there. And I walked up to Virginia, Jamie's wife, when I got there, said, you know, gave her a hug, talked to her, how's the turnout? And she just shook her head. And I didn't know what it meant at first. And she said, oh, it's just wonderful. And I went over, Jamie, how many, Jamie? And he just smiled at me. You know, Jamie's got that smile. He's like, well, Coach, about 200. We're expecting about 200. And I fell off my chair. Well, I wasn't on a chair. 200. Let me tell you something, folks. There's an awakening and a wokeness going on it's a rumbling. It's a rumbling. People are so hungry for, what's the word I'm looking for? For fellowship, for like-minded people. They came far and wide. Over 200. And I was. You know, it was a multiplicity of, bear with me a second. It was a multiplicity of reasons why people came, certain personalities, maybe some came to hear me, some did come to hear me. And it wasn't like you normally go to a conference and speakers speak. I spoke twice for maybe 10 minutes, both times, maybe part of a forum. There were Tim Alberino fans, there were Michael Lake fans, even though Michael Lake wasn't able to make it, there were Derek and Sharon Gilbert fans. There were David Paxton fans. There were, did I say Tim Alberino? I think I said Mike and Jeannie Kerr were there. There maybe someone. So it was a broad spectrum. Bob Griswold, I know I'm forgetting somebody else. And just a broad spectrum of people who are followed, if that's the right word, on the internet, they came. And it did my heart good. It was good. But you know what really did my heart good? There's a youth movement going on. There's a youth movement. There's a group of woke people. Ryan Duncan was there. I was so proud of how many people from the Q showed up. Chad was there, and Kevin Van Story and his wife were there, and Steve Deck went out with us, and John went out with us, and John Diamond went out with us, and it's just amazing. And that happened with the cross-pollinization was incredible. Of people who, as I said, were there for various reasons and then were introduced to other reasons. And to hear the stories from people about how they came across this guy and this guy came across in the connection, there's something supernatural going on, folks, behind the scenes, underneath, that we don't see. And it was a great encouragement. But the Lord told me last night to make sure I made this point. All of you out there, all of us, Mike Blake, of course. Mike Blake. Thanks, sweetheart. Mike Blake. How can I forget Mike Blake? Mike, silent assassin. Mike Blake was with us. Excuse me. Who else? Yeah, come on. Coach, what are you doing? Folks, I ran into so many people this weekend. But the Holy Spirit showed me and said to me that we, all of us here, boys and girls, I'm 67 years old. How old are you, Larry? Can't hear you. How old are you, Larry? Still can't hear you. Still can't hear you. Must be a dinosaur with no sound. Larry's old. How old are you, Joe?
Yeah, 71, I think. I'm not 71. Sure. I just figured out.
There you got you now. How old are you there, Silver? How old are you, Jack? Can't hear you yet. Come on.
71.
71. How old are you there, Silver?
68.
68. How old are you, Gary?
I'm 60. I'll be 60 in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're just a puppy. You're just a puppy. Point I'm making, folks, is there ain't a whole lot of young people coming behind us. This is an old man's fight, unfortunately. But there's a crew coming. And I really believe that there's a special anointing on Jamie Walden. Special anointing. How old are you, Rob Pugh? Is Rob even in here today? We're getting ready to go to his place. How old are you? At some point, real true leadership is the ability to reproduce yourself. You have to do that. You have to produce a leader like you. That's what it means. That's what apostleship means, right? Passing the mantle to the next generation, a tag team handoff. Now, I don't know how long we have. I don't know how many years we have. I don't know that, but I do know this: that there, as Jamie Walden did yesterday's church service, as we're all gathered in there, and there's an unbelievable anointing of the Lord upon that guy, that young guy, an unbelievable anointing, and he is preaching the kingdom warrior message. And it is so resonating, my friends. It's so resonating. And I would just tell all of you out there, as much as you can, those of you who have radio shows, those of you who have whatever it is you do, please chat, please push Jamie Walden. He has a message to the next generation. Folks, he does. And those of us who are old silver hairs like us, we're on the last leg of our race. We got to be able to hand our mantle off to somebody else. And I'm here saying today publicly, it's Jamie. We've got to hand that off to him. So I want to encourage all of you that Jamie drew many young people. By young people, I'm talking late 20s, early 30-somethings with families who get it, who understand the Jared Heaths of the world. And I said to Michelle, I was riding with Mike Blake was driving, and John Diamond's in the car with us. Michelle's in there, and I'm in there, and I'm riding all the way back and thinking about what I just seen and what we have to do, and realize that the time is really, really, really short here, man. And we got engaged. We have got to get this next generation of people engaged and understand the time in which we live and know what it is that we need to do. And I didn't walk away discouraged. I walked away greatly, greatly encouraged. Folks, listen, I made a note to myself here right now. Tim Alberino, many of you maybe don't know who Tim Alberino is. He's a young guy, another young guy with a following. And he said something so profound on Friday night, a little round table, speaker round table. We didn't have speakers as such. It was sort of like we did with, we did some, how about this, drone training. I'm going to get a drone. I'm going to get one. They showed us how to use them. Same type of things we did, some breakout sessions like we did. Well, don't let me lose my track here. Where I'm trying to go, and we need. How do we? Is it capable? How do I, me, us, we? How do we reach out and do a young person training at Sky High, or at the Estes Ranch, or wherever it might be, to pull in these 25-year-olds, these 32-year-olds, to draw these people. And folks, these are the ones we got to get these. We old gray hairs with all this experience, we can't sit around now and just smoke cigars, even though I don't, drink beers and tell stories to each other, talk about the fight. We have to engage in the fight. God bless Larry and how hard he's fighting. How long can Larry go? Who's the next Larry? Are we looking to pass the mantle on to the next generation? And that's what I walked away most from this battle, is they are out there. They are out there. We have to help bring them together. Go ahead, Larry. I see you trying to get in
there. Amen, Coach. It's, look at Bernie Sanders, how old he is, and the young following that he has. Yep. And it is because there are a lot of groups unifying to produce that following for him. And we don't have the same type thing going on our side.
It's not our focus, Larry. It hasn't been our focus. We got to be smarter, folks. It has to become a focus. We have to bring in these young guys. So I'm open to suggestions of what we can do to bring these young guys together. 200! Yeah, normally when we have an event, it's old guys, it's me and Jack and Larry and Dale. It's all us old folks. No, man. I had a great anticipation in my heart. Anybody have a feedback or a suggestion or anything about that? How we reach out and what we need to do? Come on in, Dale.
Well, Coach, I just posted. We had a closed off because it was for our church only, and we had over 30, 40 people there. But we went. We had the barbecue. We had word. We had our fellowship up on private property up in Mississippi, 68 acres. It's absolutely incredible. And at the end of the day, we did tactical training. We had shooting range set up. Five first-time shooters, ages 9, 13, 16, 25, nearly 60. Brother, it was incredible. And it fires them up. They were excited, and that's exactly it. There is a mingling. It's not just about getting the youth together, but it is a cross-pollinization, one generation teaching the next generation.
Are we all, Dale, are we all actively looking for our replacement? I want you to think about that a second.
I am.
What if all of us begin to purposely set our sights on somebody who's going to fill our shoes? And I'm 67. Larry, what'd you say, Larry? 74, whatever Larry is. Who's 71? Who's coming behind Larry? Who's going to pick up the mantle? Coach, who's going to pick up the mantle? Who's going to pick it up? And I would say that I haven't been actively focusing on that enough, and we need to begin to do that. And we need to begin to train, equip, train, and mobilize the next generation that's coming behind us. Because, folks, they are. They're waking up. They're out there. I was greatly, greatly encouraged. And I saw the youth movement that I think Jamie Walden brought. I could Ryan Dunk. I could go on and on with the young guys that I saw there. The young guys that came up to me and said, "Coach, I want to get involved. I'm sick and tired of watching what's going on. Where do I plug in?" And it's the exact same problem. We had a family of five from Portland, Oregon. Only one's from Oregon, who flew in, drove in, brought their entire family. They are woke in the middle of Oregon. They don't live in Portland. They live a little bit over, I think he said, over the mountains. They watch the show. They understand what's going on. They put it as a central focus of their family of being trained and equipped. And they're alone. They're alone. And they're all out there, folks. And I just see the Lord bringing this all together. I didn't mean to go 17 minutes on that, but it was a grand, grand time. We can't miss the time of his visitation. Can't miss it. You know, we didn't get into a whole lot of theology, rapture talk, and we talked about some current events, and the deep understanding of the dark side, and the thing that came out over and over and over and over again and over again was this. What do you suppose it was? I'll tell you what it was. Why aren't we hearing this in our churches? Over and over and over and over again. Why aren't we hearing this in our churches? Why aren't we hearing this in our churches? Why aren't we hearing this in our churches? The spiritual war, the spiritual warfare, the wrestling not against flesh and blood. We read those verses and there is no real life application to what's really going on around us. And the battle that we're fighting is good and evil, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, a battle for the cosmos. And we are down in the low levels. The church is down in the low levels, man. The low levels. And I went out there, David, get my brain working here. Paxton was flying drones. He's shown us how to fly drones. And you know, I got such an unbelievable perspective when I had that drone in my hand and I flew that drone up in the air and I got up high and I was God. I was up high and I was looking down and realized the perspective that when I'm down on the ground, when I'm just wherever you are, you're just right in the middle. You just see, you can't see anything because trees are in front of you and everything. When you get up high and you see a big perspective and shoot that drone up, and those drones fly out 4 miles and they look all the way around. And we have the ability to be, through the Holy Spirit, have that type of spiritual understanding of what's going on around us. And we don't even understand what it's about now, what it's to do. We talked to, fourth dimension, all of that stuff, the spiritual war, what's happening. I came away greatly encouraged. Because I came away greatly encouraged, I want to impress upon you again, we're having another event here on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of October. We're going to charge, prices are on there. If you want to come, we're going to charge, I think it's $50. I think Jamie charged $399. $50 all the way down there, Mike. We got some other stuff we'll talk about here in a second. Get down there. Gary Pierce has put all this together. So, you know what? We didn't shoot any guns when we were in Missouri. We didn't shoot any guns. Played some paintball, but we didn't shoot any guns. We talked about other stuff, preparation, all those things that we know about. And we're going to do some tactical shooting here, but we're going to do some spiritual warfare training with Tom Dunn, who's coming tomorrow. Tom is going to be on the show tomorrow. And what's going on in the demonic realm? And Stephanie College is going to come and talk about what's going on in the demonic realm that we have a great understanding of. And we're charging $50 for general admission and a meal ticket. That's pretty cheap. We're going to charge $25 if you want to stay inside Sky High. And then we've got 16. What there's what's at Sky High. We have 16 slots available in shared rooms. There's 5 slots for women, 11 slots for men. Bring air mattress, sleeping bag. You can sleep on, you can camp on the grounds like we did last time, so you don't have to get in a hotel. We've got some people that Mike Blake's going to let us use his place. We can put some couples over there. But folks, even though maybe we're not totally, I can't believe it's September. What is it? I can't believe it's September 7th. It's 4 weeks away. You need to start signing up now because we're cutting it off at 50. We're going to cut it off at 50. And we're going to be more focused. We saw the importance of fellowship, and we'd love for all of you to be part of it. I'm rambling today. I'm tired. I was sick all week. I had a I had stomach issues, all weekend. I'm tired and worn out, but excited, excited. Great conversations with John Diamond and the insight that John Diamond has to what's going on in the kingdom, and Jamie Walden preaching the same kingdom message. And I'll shut up there. Hang on, stay on that events page, because Rob Pugh's having a tactical event, training event this weekend. Rob Pugh is, and he sold out. Rob told me for the first time in all the things he's been doing, he's finally sold out. People in Wisconsin, something's happening here, my friends. It's under the radar. We're going to be up there this weekend. Okay? I'd invite you to come. You can't come. There isn't any space available this weekend. Scroll on down. What's the next one, Mike? I know we got chat. God bless. We got the Salt and Light Brigade here down in Mayberry RFD. That's coming up September 19th. It's just a one-day event. If you're in that area, come and be part. And get connected. Get connected. And Chad's having his Salt and Light Brigade assembly, his yearly thing. Chad picked up more people at this event that we were just at. I don't know if Chad's even back home yet. I don't know if Chad's in here. He ran into more people who want to be part. They're looking to plug in. Chad's got an event going September 25th. And there's a Pennsylvania boot camp going on at the same time at Gettysburg, September 26th and 27th. Folks, we got to get involved. We got to get in action. We got to get moving. Larry's working hard with his trying to get people to stop the vaccinations. That thing is coming down the pike so fast. You tend to wonder if the Lord doesn't intervene, if we have time to stop some of this stuff. I don't know. We have to try. We have to stand up and try and be part of it. I've rambled. I feel like I got ADD today. Gary, what's going on in Rochester? Are you telling me they got Antifa, BLM, and those folks are doing crazy stuff up in Rochester, New York? I don't even know if Gary's in here. Gary's always in here. You in here, Gary?
Yep, I'm here.
What's going on?
Yeah, Rochester.
Rochester, New York?
Yeah, Rochester, 80 miles from me. And the first question I would love to ask, well, I think it's, I know why they're doing this, but first question I'd love to ask, that incident happened back in March, and it's only now becoming public knowledge. Very interesting timing. Syracuse, where I am, has been very quiet. We have had no incidents here. But Rochester is starting to look like another Kenosha.
Amen. Small towns coming to small towns. Now, listen, I started to talk about Tim Alberino, and my ADHD kicked in. And Tim Alberino said something that was profound. He's an Ohio guy, by the way, living out in Bozeman now. But Tim Alberino said, we ought to be standing up and we ought to be rejoicing because the enemy's exposed. Hey, Jack, for the first time since you've been fighting in this war for 40 years, they're out in the open, Jack. They're out in the open.
That's good.
They've been flushed out into the open, folks.
Sight them in.
We can see them. We can see them for the first. They've been working subversively. They've been working in the shadows. What was that video that is on our website? Out of the shadows. Isn't that what it is? They're coming out of the shadows. They're being exposed. We're beginning to see. Sadly, we're a little bit slow in organizing and responding, but it's time to do it. So the enemy's exposed. Let's not be discouraged. Let's be encouraged. And let's try to figure out a way that we can begin once again to reach out to the unchurched, the Lonely Hearts Club band folks out there who are with us all the way, fighting hearts, and collectively unify and quit. We got it. I'll shut up. Somebody come on in. I'm tired this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach. Just had a thought on 9/11. Yeah. People flocked to the churches, but there was nowhere to go. Let's be ready to be there as people are starting to come. And as the next event happens, people will be turning to the church. Let's actually be the church for a change.
Well, Jack, this next one, I'm not a doomer gloomer. This next thing is going to be pretty big, I think. Because, again, they're exposed. I think they know they're going to lose. And they're going to try to make a mess before they lose.
So they got nothing to lose by making it as big as possible.
Yeah, that's what I think. Somebody else tried to commit. Come on in.
Yeah, you know, I think September the 17th is the anniversary of the ratification of the Constitution. Maybe we should, you know, if it's nothing but an online presence or something, maybe we should, because a lot of people are concerned about the Constitution and the deterioration that's happened to it.
Well, Larry, you know what I heard more than anything this week, as much as anything this weekend, is the whole idea that we talked about on our show, even though they didn't use these terms, is redress of grievances. Who do we turn to? We all see this mess. We all see it. And we all see that if somebody would just do the right thing, much of this would clear up. Why won't they stop the burning it? Why won't they stop it? Did you see, was it in Portland, wherever it was, 600 people the DA chose not to charge? They let them come and tear up the cities and then don't even charge them. And
so The DA charged.
Yeah, well, right. But we see it everywhere, don't we? We see what's going on in the political realm. Why is it going on in the political realm? Because they won't charge each other. Because they're all compromised in some way. And so what we see here, really, it's the exposure of this calamitous concubine of in Washington that we have got to somehow get a hold of again. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, Larry just said the idea of the signing of the Constitution. But you know what? The other thing is the DA. We want the Article 5. There's this big push for an Article 5 convention so that somebody else fixes it. The problem is we need to go to Article 6 and make them adhere to their oath of office. If we applied the Article 6, we wouldn't need the Article 5. It's up to us to hold their feet to the fire. They took an oath. If they're in breach of their oath, they are in breach of their fiduciary responsibility. That's enough to remove them. But we don't think about it in those terms.
No, we don't. We don't. We always want somebody else to do it. And we're really at the crossroads, in my opinion. It's either going to be we the people or it's not going to happen. The elected officials are incapable of cleaning the mess up. That's what I think. Who else? Come on in.
Hey, Coach. This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
I had a wonderful day yesterday. I preached in front of the Methodist, not the Methodist Church, the Christian Life Center. It's an Assembly of God denomination. One of the associate pastors and an elder came and challenged me. They're wearing their mask, and I call them a bunch of cowards. But boy, they got kicked because they couldn't express they're not standing up for God. They're staying inside the four walls. Mm-hmm. Now, I went home, and as I was walking my dog, just shortly thereafter, women just drive by with my street preaching, says, "Jesus loves me." And she's waving at me, some stranger, right out of the blue.
Yeah.
So that's a significant positive thing.
Well, I hope he does. I hope he does love her. That's another one of the great misteachings that's out there. I had an opportunity. I want to share this one time. You know, I'm sorry, folks. I'm just kind of all over the place today. All right, bear with me. It's Labor Day. Here's one of the things that I recognized. On Friday night, I'm trying to figure out what night it was. We did a little opening session with the celebrities, whatever that means. We all had a chance to address them. And I made a statement right out of the box that the most, I didn't use this word, but I probably should have, the most useless force on the face of the earth is the American Christian male. Is useless. Would somebody say amen? The American Christian male has become useless. And the American, is nobody going to say amen? I'm going to wait a minute. The American.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The American yes. Christian male has become useless and worthless. Bible said good for nothing. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. And I had a gentleman come up to me afterwards because I said, I don't, you know, I was speaking from the heart, talking about the American Christian male and the cowardice and all that stuff. And it's all happened on our watch and we permitted it to happen. And babies are dying at abortion clinics and nobody gives a damn. And for you to know to do good, not to do it to you, it's sin. And then I made this statement. I said to the women, let your men go. Let your men go. Quit holding your men back. And there's a funny feeling in the room when I said that. And had a guy come up to me just before I left yesterday. He said, Coach, I don't want you to think I don't want to be out of place. And he said, I don't want to be presumptuous with you. But he said, when you said that, he said, I don't know if you felt it, but there was a real, there was a feeling that went across that auditorium. And you said to the women, stop holding your men back. He said, Coach, you do understand, don't you, that the women understand that their men are out of control. And if they don't hold their men back, it ain't going to be good. And I thought, wow, is that ever true? And it went right to the heart of the problem that we have in America. Of how many Christian American men have yielded the authority to somebody else. In the home, you yield it to your wife. At the job, you yield it to your boss. The church, you yield it to your pastor. At home, sometimes you yield it to your children. Wherever it is, we are constantly taught to yield our authority to somebody else. And as a result, we have a conglomerate of men walking around wearing freaking masks. Christian men wearing masks. And he said the women are doing everything they can to keep the men in line. I said, oh my God. That's it, isn't it? That's it. The Christian men don't even know what it means to be a Christian man. Do you remember this, folks? Go to Genesis 4, Mike. Genesis 4. The story of Adam and Eve.
Is it 3? It's 3:15 and 3:16.
Genesis 3:15, Gary, is that what you're saying? Are you reading my mind?
15 and 16.
You reading my mind, Gary? Stay right there, Mike. In fact, Mike, let's start at the very beginning, Mike. Genesis 3, a minute. Because, boy, this is it. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, hey, God really said that? Did he really say that? Did he really say you shouldn't eat of the fruit of the tree? And the woman said unto the serpent, well, yeah, we can eat the trees of the garden. But that one tree right there in the midst of the garden, God has said, don't eat that one. Don't even touch it, because as soon as you do, you're going to die. And the serpent said to the woman, come on. You ain't going to die. God doesn't want you to eat that thing, because he knows if you eat that thing, you're going to be able to see a lot of great stuff out there that you didn't even know was out there. And you're going to be just like him then. See, God doesn't want you to have it. And the woman, when she took a look at that at that fruit. See, I don't think it was an apple. This is just my take on it. I think it was sex. And the woman saw that the tree was good and it felt good and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree that desired to be made, make one wise. She said, "Ouch, let me try a little bit of that." And she did. And then she gave also unto her husband, underline this, Mike, who was with her. So the devil comes and he tempts the woman, and Adam is standing right beside her. And he doesn't step in and say to this snake, "Hey, wait a minute, dude. Who do you think you are messing with my family here, dude?" In fact, what did Adam do? He stood there and followed the leader, his wife. And then he decided, "Well, I'll take a bite too."
Hey, from that,
just a second. From that very moment on, the Christian male has struggled with authority. It being the authority, accountability, responsibility, the Christian male has shrugged that off. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, there's probably a reason why Satan approached the woman instead of the man. But if you take the scripture that you just looked at, you know, Genesis 3:3, and then go back to 2:16 and 17, you find out that when Eve replied to the serpent, she told a lie. Because 16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die." And then she said, "God has said ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it." God didn't say a thing about touching it. Right. So she added to the story. She started some gossip right there.
Yeah, amen. Well, misconstruing the word. We see a lot of that going on, don't we? So, I just throw that out for all of us to think about today, that ultimately the problem that we have is men. We're the problem. We really are. We're really the problem. And one of the things that's going to be hard for us to do you guys remember Promise Keepers? I'm all over the place this morning, I understand. I was big into Promise Keepers. And as I look back over Promise Keepers, I grieve because of the message that came out of Promise Keepers was basically love, 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 serve your wife, be good at home. That's always good. That's all good. But Promise Keepers were calling men to be men and gave them nothing really hard to do. Remember the march on D.C. was, raise your hand out there if you were part of the 2,000 men that ascended on the march on Washington with Promise Keepers, 2 million men. They went to Washington, D.C., and they never, ever said a thing about the social issues. 2 million men descended. They didn't talk about abortion or homosexuality or nothing. Pedophilia, destruction of our schools, they didn't talk anything about it, right? Didn't do it. They just went and had big church service. And I've often wondered if today we could get 2 million men to Washington, D.C. and say, "We're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore." If the Lord God would smile upon our efforts. See, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own wicked ways, then they'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. That's good, but that's not a passive thing, see. It's not passive behavior. And I can't tell you the number of times this weekend I said to people that I'd start have conversations with, people who just come up and maybe watch the show, or some had never even heard of the show, so just come up in passing and have a conversation. And I would ask them the same thing. Same thing I'm going to ask you today. I want to turn from sin. I want to turn from my wicked ways. That's what I want to do, Lord. I want to please you. I want to turn from my wicked ways. And I'd say, "Okay, well, how about, what do you do with this verse? Hey, Jack McCarthy or Jeff Nell or Larry or Gary or whoever else is in here. Jeff, anybody listening to the show today? How many of you think abortion is wrong? How many of you think abortion should end? And, of course, everybody raises their hand. Well, I believe that. Okay, so, well, I said, let me ask you something. You serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. He said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I said, do you agree with that? Do you believe in that great commission, as Jamie Walden would say, that military commandment to go and police the world? That's what he said. It's a command. Go and teach them to observe. It's a military command. Go do it. And you wake up and you walk around your town and they're murdering babies in your town and you don't do anything to stop it other than put a bumper sticker on your car. Do you know that to know to do good, stop abortion, and not to do it, you'd sin? Folks, that's deep, man. See, we think about the sins of commission, right? Pornography, alcohol, pick your sin. Pick your sin. We're good at the sins of commission. Don't do this and don't do that. And signs everywhere. Sign. Walking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? Christians are good at the don'ts. But we're not very good at
Talking about abortion, Coach, read Proverbs 24, 11, and 12, I think it is.
Pull it up there, Proverbs 24, 11, and 12. We're not very good at those sins of omission, are we? For us to know to do good and not to do it. That's just as sinful. They say, hey, Coach Dave, I hear you drink a beer every now and then. Christians shouldn't drink beers. I said, daggone, you got me. Boy, you got me on that one, even though I don't agree. You got me on that one. Christians also don't let babies die at abortion clinics. Got you on that one. Right? Proverbs, what was it? Glenn, go ahead. We got it up on the screen.
Yeah, 24, 11, and 12.
If you forbear to deliver them, forbear means fail. If you fail to protect or rescue those, to deliver those that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. If you know they're about to be killed and you don't do anything about it, if you say, behold, we didn't know. I didn't know they were killing babies in there. Doth not he that ponders the heart consider that? And he that keepeth your soul, doesn't he know it? And shall he not render to every man according to what he done do? That's scary, isn't it? What do you think, Silver? That's a scary one, bud.
Well, Coach, I wanted to continue back in Genesis and when we were dealing with 5 and 6. The issue is here, God told Adam, don't do that. Adam told Eve, don't do that. Eve did that. Nothing happened.
Adam said, let me, to her husband. Yeah, Adam said, let me have some of that, honey.
Yeah, let me have some of that. Then their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked because Adam sinned against God.
Amen.
But then it gets worse than that, because then when the Lord comes back and asks them, what did you do? Just like all of our little good Christians, we all eventually turn and say, the devil made me do it.
Well, even worse, Dale, Adam blamed his wife.
Of course he did.
Well, Dave, I mean, this is the thing that, you know, we talked about when you said that wives let your husbands, you know, do thing, and I came up later and I said, hey, I said, but husbands, quit using your wife as an excuse.
It's the other side of it, Chad. That's right, man.
Because they say, well, I'd go, but, you know, I don't want to upset, you know. I don't want to offend, you know. And see, that, just do it.
Just do it. Mikey, right?
No, it's hard to stand alone, boys and girls. It's hard to stand alone. We need to support each other. They wear us down. Survival training. They take the lowest ranked person and make him in charge. And the highest ranked person has to stand up and say, no, this is my responsibility. And they punch him in the face and they hit him with the butt of a gun and they kick him in the groin. And he has to stand up and say, no, this is my responsibility. And they put the lowest ranked person right up there again every morning. And we got to be able to stand up. And I tell you, where it wears you down when you get punched in the face over and over and over and over. And there's nobody to say, do it, man, do it. We'll bind you. Do it.
Let me bring, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, real quick. When I was talking to the Assembly of Life church there, I told, this is how you pick your elders in the church. You go to a litter of puppies to find out what their attitude is and what they're capable of, how they present themselves. So you pick a puppy up, you turn it over. If it wiggles, it's too active. So they're too out of control. So you pick up another puppy. If it lays there calmly, that's who you pick. So I call them dogs.
That's true, brother. That's true. Can I bring it home here, Matt? Can I bring it home? I'm sorry, I've been all over the place. I just got to make some points that are in my heart. I wonder how many of you listening to me right now, watching me right now. I would say it to me. I wish I had said it to me. I wish somebody had said it to me 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Okay? Speaking to some of you men right now, can you explain to me why you, as a father, still permit some guy to be shacking up with your daughter outside the bonds of matrimony? Can you explain to me why you would let some man do that to your precious child outside of wedlock? Can somebody explain to me why that would be okay? By the way, how about the fact that some of those people who are doing that come to church? They come to church. And nobody will stand up and say anything about it. It's going on in your house and in my house, in my household that I'm the head of. I'm the head of my household. And I'm tolerating things that I shouldn't tolerate. And I have a lot of reasons why. One of them, Chad, is my wife would come up to me and say, honey, you do that, you're just going to make him mad. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Rather than holding a righteous standard in our own homes, we won't pull the trigger on the hard things. He said, well, if that happens, they're going to sever our relationship. Well, I'll never get to see my grandkids. Well, you know what Jamie Walden said? Suck it up, buttercup. That's part of going to war. That's part of it. Suck it up or bend over and take it. And what have men done? The church has programmed us to bend over and take it. Men, bend over and take it. Swallow hard and bend over and take it, boys. Somebody say amen, because that's a home run right there. The church has taught men to bend over and take it.
Amen.
Amen.
See, I look at Genesis 3:15 and 16, where he put enmity between the seed of the man and the serpent and the seed of the woman. And then he tells the women that your desire will be to your husband. I don't think it meant desire. It meant desire to rule over him. And he said, but he will rule over you. So take it for what it's worth. I don't know.
Well, how about this one? How about this one? The Lord said that we, you and I, Christian men, Christian women, I don't know where it is over the top of, off the top of my head, but I could dig it out real quickly here on Labor Day if I had to. I could labor and find it. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. You might know where that is? It's Ephesians? Is it Philesia?
Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4.
No, no, Ephesians 5, verse 11.
Ephesians 5, 11. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Hey, Christian man, they're talking to us. He's talking to us. Hey, listen, he's not talking to you about the people you go to church with. He's not talking to you about the way you deal with your neighbors. He's not even talking about the way that you deal with Nancy Pelosi. He says, let me tell you something, boys. Have no fellowship with those who are sleeping around and want to come into your house. Have no fellowship with that. But reprove it. Now, boys, girls, we wonder why we're not in fellowship. We want to know why our relationships and our families are a mess. Right there it is. Goes back to what I talked about last week, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. You mean to tell me, son, that you're going to lay with my girl without marrying her?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know that Ephesians 5:11? That's the Holy Spirit directing Paul to give this message to Christians. The followers of Christ, they're in Ephesus. And he's telling them, he's saying, have no fellowship with. He doesn't say, tell others not to have fellowship with. He says, you have no fellowship with.
Mike, pull up Mr. Webster. What does it mean to reprove it? Come on in, Cardinal.
Hey, Coach. Why don't we get into Ephesians? Where's Ephesians happen? In Ephesus, right?
Right.
Right. People don't get that. They miss the whole thing because they hear these things, but they don't put the context together.
Vinny, so to reprove, because Jesus loves everybody, and who are we to judge, right? Reprove. What does reprove mean? To blame or to censure. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather censure them. Blame them. To charge with a fault, to the face. To chide. To reprehend. Who are you to judge? To blame for. To convince of a fault. To refute. To disprove. To excite a sense of guilt. To manifest silent disapprobation or blame. In other words, when you see unfruitful works of darkness, point it out and don't have anything to do with it. And what do we find going on in most American families? We won't point it out because we don't want to lose fellowship. We have it exactly backwards.
Coach, Matthew 29, isn't it?
What is it, Vinny? Help me.
Judge not lest you be judged. And then there's the rest of it that no one ever says.
Yeah, for the way
7:1.
Matthew 7:1. 7:1. So listen. Guilty as charged. Me. Guilty as charged. But fellas, we're not the head of our household. We're really not. And women have to hold us back because we're slothful and lazy servants sometimes in regards to what our real job and real duty is. And why do I have an easy time going out and showing some fornicator at the abortion clinic how wrong she is, but look the other way when it's my niece or my cousin or my daughter or my son? Good question, isn't it? I got 5 minutes.
It's not personal.
It's not personal.
There's no negative consequences for telling someone you don't know. They shouldn't be doing that.
No personal cost, is there, Chad? There's no personal cost. Right? The Bible tells us don't have anything to do with them. Have nothing to do. And then what said, let me read that again. Was that Ephesians 5:10? Is that where it was, Jeff? Have no fellowship. Mike, look up fellowship. Have no fellowship. Companionship. Association. Partnership. Joint. Interest. Company. State of being together. Frequency. Fitness and fondness. Communion. Intimate familiarity. An establishment in colleges for the maintenance of fellowship. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather what? Reprove them. You can say, listen, you know, I can't tell you what to do. And I love you. But if you're going to act like that, find someplace else to hang out. Don't come here. I don't want that to defile my home. I don't want you to come in here after sleeping with my daughter and come in here and defile my wife. To bring that spirit around my wife who gave birth to that beautiful daughter. That you're milking. Men aren't taught to do that, are they? That's not loving. That's judgmental. Is it any wonder men don't have any courage? Is it any wonder men won't speak up in church? Is it any wonder? See, men have not practiced confrontation. Chad, I'm going to say it again. Men avoid confrontation. They don't practice confrontation. But we're not very good at it. Help me out. I'm out of stuff. I got 2 minutes. I could shut off now. We're in a war, boys and girls. And the Bible tells us this, that our enemies are first going to be those of our own family. Fathers against daughters, mothers against sons, right? 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 We're going to fight that battle, too.
Well, see, one of the things that we talk about like in the law enforcement community, which I'm trying to shoot guys out, and I'm saying I'm not above it, okay? But, you know, you got to enforce the law in your own house first before you can branch out to your neighbors. So we have to be right here within our own house before we can really move out. And if we're not right, and I think this is part of what holds back some of the church, because if they're not right in their own house, they feel like a hypocrite, or they are a hypocrite when they go out amongst the non-believing public, if you will.
Or they're afraid to be called one, Chad, because they are one, right? They are hypocritical. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, here's what we do. At some point, we have to draw the line. Whoever that child, that way, whatever that, wherever we're committing that sin of dealing, having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, we got to, at some point, begin to stand up and say, hey, listen, you know, I've been wrong. I've been putting up with some things that I shouldn't be putting up with. I've been weak, and I've been wrong. And I love you, honey. But if you're going to continue to shack up with your boyfriend, you're not welcome here. It's tough, isn't it? Say, I love you. But your relationship is hindering my relationship with the Lord. Well, it's tough. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Tom Dunn tomorrow. We're going to talk about what? DID. We're going to talk, get into some great stuff. Say, what's DID? Yeah. Be here tomorrow. You'll find out. God bless you. We'll see you.